Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
All right, another week of NBA basketball. It's Bucks Weekly coming up a little bit later on in the show. Gale Klappa has a conversation with the newly returned Pat Connaughton. You'll hear that within this show here. If you miss any of that interview, you can get it on the Bucks flagship podcast feed as well. You can get this show in its entirety and Bucks Talk if you miss that any post-game. So look for that there. But again, Gale Klappa's guest this week. A lot of timely guests for Gale. Last week it was Marjon Beauchamp after a couple of breakout performances. And tonight, Pat Connaughton, 24 hours after his season debut. But we mentioned that because his team is starting to move towards healthy. You got Pat Connaughton back on Friday. You got Jrue Holiday back. And Chris Middleton, look, there's no timeline for his return. And I know we've been saying this for a couple of weeks, it seems like. It's close. It's close. I can't tell you exactly when because I don't know, but it is somewhere on the horizon here. You get that sense. We've seen him practicing, him being Chris with the herd a couple of times now over the weekend, yesterday as well. And to get Pat Connaughton back out there, you heard Coach Budenholzer after the game talk about the trust, the connectivity that Pat Connaughton brings to that group. And the other thing is, they need help offensively, right? This is a Bucks team. Defense is their calling card, but I think a lot of times you think about their offense because of Giannis and his fast break ability. And Chris Middleton, I know we haven't seen him this year, but Chris Middleton's ability to be a 20-plus point game per game scorer. Jrue Holiday certainly can do it. Brook Lopez, we're seeing it again this year, but it's not too long ago Brook Lopez was a 20 points per game type of guy as well. So you think the offense is easy to come by for this Bucks team, but it's actually been the opposite. And we saw this in that series against the Boston Celtics in the playoffs. Their offense, specifically in the half court, was not good, to put it mildly. That's carried over this year. The offense has been in the bottom 10. So how, you may ask yourself, how, with an offense that has been in the lower third in this league, with injuries to Pat Connaughton, to Chris Middleton, Giannis has missed three games, Jrue Holiday's missed, I think, five games, Grayson Allen's been in and out of the lineup. How is this team 12-4 despite all of that? And it's because of the defense and because of Brook Lopez. Look, we've started somewhat in jest saying, hey, what do we got to do to get Brook Lopez to the All-Star game? Make him an All-Star. We're no longer kidding. We mean it. Brook Lopez, how do we get him into the All-Star game? His offensive numbers are at the level they've been when he was a member of the Brooklyn Nets, where, oh, by the way, he is still the franchise's leading scorer. His offense has not been this good statistically in 6 years. And he still leads the league in block shots and challenges. The Bucks are 12-4 largely because of Brook Lopez. His defense is setting the table. He's stopping everything around the rim. The Bucks are contesting more threes on the perimeter. And Giannis gets to play like he did 2 and 3 years ago, where he's the guy as the help side, weak side defender, able to play on the perimeter, able to come over and swoop in, essentially playing center field and getting those blocks. Giannis has been that good because of Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez's offense has helped this team offset a lot of those points that are out of the lineup right now as well. So it is time to really make this campaign to get Brook Lopez into the All-Star game. There's one interesting game going on right now in the NBA. There's one interesting game that's going to be played tomorrow in about 24 hours, and that is, of course, in Milwaukee. We'll preview that matchup with the Chicago Bulls, the first time these two rivals will lock horns, the Bulls and the Bucks, is tomorrow, the eve of Thanksgiving. And we have seen a lot of Bulls fans infiltrate Fiserv Forum. We've seen the Bucks do the same when they play in the United Center. But given where this falls on the calendar, you get a period of the calendar year where a lot of people are back home. It's a big going out night. I think there's going to be quite a rabid atmosphere tomorrow inside a Fiserv Forum for the Bucks and the Bulls. We'll preview that matchup. And remember, it's a City Edition night, so you get to see the blue jerseys. You get to see the blue court as well. We will preview the Bucks and the Bulls. We'll take a look at who the sub of the week was. And still three more games between now and our next show. We'll get to the marquee matchup of the week as well. But coming up next, time for Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Pat Connaughton is the guest for Gale Klappa. You'll hear that interview after this on Bucks Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Thanksgiving week has arrived, and the NBA scheduling gods have smiled on the Bucks. Four games over 7 days in the friendly confines of Fiserv Forum, and Thanksgiving Day off to spend time with friends and family. Our guest tonight will remember this holiday week for a special reason. He took a leap forward on Monday when he stepped on the court fully recovered from a calf injury that kept him out of the lineup since opening night. By any measure, Pat Connaughton is a smart player, almost like a coach on the floor. He is the leader of the bench mob for the Bucks and a key piece of a talented roster hungry to bring the championship trophy back to Milwaukee. Pat, always fun to visit with you. Thanks again for joining us here on Courtside. Well, Pat, I joked last week that they should be playing the theme for MASH at Fiserv Forum. So many injuries have plagued the Bucks roster in the early going. But the good news is you returned to the court last night. You played 15 and a half minutes, scored 7 points, played some solid defense. How do you feel about your season debut?
I felt good. I mean, at the end of the day, I was just happy to be back out there. Obviously, it's been fun watching us get off to a hot start, which has kept my patience at bay. But, you know, it's a lot more fun to be out there sharing in the grind and playing alongside, you know, my teammates. And so to be out there to get some of the rust off, to find ways to impact the game, and most importantly, find ways to help, you know, our team win a game against a very talented Portland Trail Blazers team. I say it was a successful game one for me.
That's great. And Pat, tell our listeners a little bit about your calf injury and the rehab work that was necessary to get you totally healed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, I've been fortunate. I've been, you know, a relatively durable player over my time in the NBA. And if anything, you know, nicks and bruises come about, but they don't usually prevent me from playing. And so to have an injury that's a little bit different, it's not one you can fight through. It's one that you have to listen to. It's one that is fatigue-based. It's one that, you know, at the end of the day, you got to be careful because it's something that can linger, and obviously it's something that can, affect areas near the calf, which nobody wants. So doing the rehab was very much a matter of patience, a matter of pushing myself and playing that fine line of not pushing myself too far, but still making sure that I was gaining strength back in my calf muscle. So that I was ready to actually play and perform and use the explosive muscles that I need to use during an NBA game.
Pat, how did you actually injure your calf to begin with?
It was my stubborn, you know, Irish Catholic Boston toughness wanting to be ways. You know, it was something that I felt on our first practice back from Abu Dhabi that was bothering me by the end of practice. It just kind of gradually got worse. And, you know, I took a day the next day on that game that none of us really played in Chicago, but I kind of just tried to fight through it. And when I tried to fight through it to get ready to play the next preseason game, that's when the injury kind of really occurred. So in retrospect, just knowing that, you know, calves can be a little bit funny. Calves can get fatigued, and calves can have, you know, obviously greater impacts if you don't listen to them. I'll leave my toughness for other injuries that I experienced throughout a season.
There you go. Well, Pat, as you know, Coach Bud never rushes an injured player back into action. And I assume, Pat, that's one of the reasons why so many players around the league would love to play in Coach Bud's system. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Bud has a great philosophy, which, to be honest with you, is a philosophy I think, you know, all teams should have. At the end of the day, obviously there's a difference between being healed and being healthy. And so, you know, the data, the, you know, x-rays, the MRIs, they can all tell you to a certain degree the healing process, but they can't tell you how your body's going to respond to being thrown in an NBA game. They can't tell you your body's confidence level on being able to make a move that normally you wouldn't think twice about. They can't tell you if your body's going to pull up sore after a workout. That's supposed to be, you know, a test run to get you ready for a game. And I think that's where, you know, Coach Bud does a great job is, you know, even when you're healed, it doesn't necessarily mean you're healthy. Or even when, you know, in experience, you know, calf strain might be, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. Well, the average return to play of, you know, calf strain across all sports is 44 days. So that's a difference between, you know, 21 and 28 days and 44 days. And so I think it's a matter of how your body is going to respond to it. And Coach Bud wants you to feel as confident, if not more confident, than when you were previously before you were injured.
And Pat, tell us, how did you get to that confidence level that ended up with you being on the court and playing well last night?
It's a matter of making sure that I'm putting myself through tests that are related to things I'm going to have to do on the court. For me specifically, you know, it got to a place where I was able to do shooting. I was able to do, you know, running on a treadmill and things of that effect. But you can't really simulate the explosiveness that I want to play with during an NBA game. You can't really simulate the defense, the jumping, the, you know, sprinting back on defense, the quick agile moves where you're on the balls of your feet and really putting strain through that calf muscle, no pun intended. And so you just want to make sure that you're going through those tests and you want to make sure that your calf responds well from those tests the next day. And I think for me, you know, my mind was ready for me to get back out there playing sooner than I was able to. But, you know, I had to listen to my body and make sure that, you know, when and if it came up tight or sore, that it was telling me it wasn't quite there yet.
That makes a lot of sense. And, Pat, the day after and how your body responds is a big deal. How do you feel after the game last night?
I feel good. I mean, at the end of the day, you're never able to fully simulate an NBA game. So, you know, you have soreness in your legs, or I have soreness in my legs, a little bit in my calf, but it's the, your body, as you've, you know, as I've played sports for a long time now, you can tell the difference between a soreness that's caused from injury and a soreness that's just, you know, muscle fatigue because you've done something that you haven't done in a few weeks or a month. And so fortunately it's the latter more so for me of what I'm feeling. And, you know, I'm excited to, you know, make sure I take today, you know, easy, do recovery, do, you know, physical therapy, do ice baths, cold baths, the whole thing, and be ready to go tomorrow.
That's terrific. And, Pat, one piece of good news, at least you didn't get tackled around the neck like Giannis did last night.
I said to Giannis, no, usually I'm the one that gets pummeled in the face during the game. You don't have to, you know, take that honor from me anytime soon, so please stop getting tackled from the head.
One great comment, Pat, if you remember, that Giannis made about you is that you've sacrificed your face for the Bucks, which I thought was pretty interesting, as he joked about all of the pummeling you tend to take.
Yeah, you know, I'm willing to sacrifice my face for the Bucks because from what I've been told, it was never that pretty in the first place.
Oh, goodness. We'll have more with Pat Connerton in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. Gail Klopper back again with Pat Connerton on Courtside for the Milwaukee Bucks. Pat, we're 16 games into the NBA season. Pretty decent sample size at this point. If you step back and look at the Bucks' performance so far, what would be your two or three most important takeaways?
I would say for me, it's been the spurts of great ball movement and offense and playing together that we've had and trying to find ways to do that consistently throughout a 48-minute game. And I think as we continue to play more together and continue to get guys back healthy, that will come. But what's been most impressive to me and what, you know, we kind of built that championship team off of is the defense. And I think we've done a great job of playing defense, making it hard on teams to score the basketball, and making sure that, you know, we have each other's backs. I think everyone thinks about defense in one-on-one situations in the NBA and how you got to guard your guy, which I think we've gotten better at in general, but overall making sure that we can be confident that if and when someone gets beat because it's the NBA and because there are talented players out there, that somebody has our back and we can scramble for each other and we can play more team defense than anything else.
And Pat, I know that the Bucks have tweaked their defensive scheme just a bit this year to help clamp down more on the long-range three-point shooting from opposing teams. How about describe some of the adjustments that the team has made to try to clamp down on the threes?
Yeah, I think it's just about continuing to grow as a team as far as basketball IQ and understanding what, you know, the league is trying to do. You know, teams are trying to get more threes. We saw that in the Boston series, and the Boston Celtics continue to try to find ways to get more three-point shots. And I think for us, it's about understanding that that's happening, that it's something that will continue to happen, and how do we play team defense but not get ourselves into situations where we're over helping or where we're giving up, you know, some of the easier three-point shots that you see. The classic, there's a pick and roll and you're helping off of the corner on the guy who's rolling, but the guy who's rolling is really just there, you know, as a placeholder or as somebody who you know, the team's hoping you'll help on so that they can get the three-point shot. And I think that's where the coaching staff has done a great job in making sure that we understand, you know, when we can help, how much we can help, and making sure we don't over-help off of great three-point shooters.
Yeah, interesting. And, of course, Pat, the Bucks defense still benefits from having your buddy Splash Mountain, Brook Lopez, protecting the rim. One of the great shot blockers of all time, and Pat looking great after coming back from back surgery last season.
100%. Splash Mountain, you know, I was fortunate. I got here the same time Splash did, and, you know, him and I have a great friendship. And to see him come back, I think last year everybody was excited to get him back after back surgery, but you got to understand, not playing basketball for 9 months and having to deal with a back injury is no walk in the park. So I think he needed an offseason to really get his legs under him, to really get his rhythm back, to really get dust the rust off, if you will. And I think he's coming out this year and just kind of showing that he hasn't lost anything from the Splash Mountain that we've obviously come to know and love here in Milwaukee.
And also seems to be really, really hot from three-point land back again, like he was just two seasons ago.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Brooke and I are very similar in trying to figure out ways how we can better ourselves in the offseason, but also how we can be more consistent. And I think one thing Brooke's done a tremendous job of is really looking at himself from a data analytics standpoint and really trying to find, you know, the areas in which, you know, his shooting has and can improve. And I think it's less about the result. The result is just a byproduct of it. It's more about just seeing how or where or why shots may have not been as consistent as he's wanted them to be and then making adjustments accordingly.
Well, Pat, speaking of making adjustments, I know you worked hard in the offseason to continue to improve your game. Tell our listeners, if you will, about the specific areas that you focused on.
Yeah, for me, I focused holistically on a little bit of everything, but the two key areas were finding ways to get more consistent from the three-point line. I think, you know, that's always been something for me that I've wanted to improve, and I have improved on every single year. So I want to make sure I continue to do that, you know, this year. And then secondly, for me, it was the first off-season, true off-season that we've had in 2 years, and finding a way to get my legs back under me to the point where my athleticism, the playing above the rim, the rebounding, the blocking shots, the dunks can come back and come back in a major way.
Well, Pat, that makes a lot of sense. And thinking about the season so far, It looks like two of our big rivals, the Celtics and the 76ers, are as strong as ever in the Eastern Conference. We've split, as you know, the first two matchups with Philadelphia. Thinking back about those two games, what do those games tell you about the Bucks' ability to compete at a really high level?
I mean, I think Coach Bud, since the day he got here, and ironically the same year I got here, has done a great job of making sure that we understand, we can only compare ourselves to other teams to a certain degree. At the end of the day, we have to be the hardest critics on ourselves, and we have to hold ourselves to a higher standard. And I think that's something that we've done, since I've gotten here, and it's something that we'll continue to do. But as we, match up against the 76ers, you see, the talent that they have across the board. As you watch some of the Celtics games, you see the talent that they have. And I think for us, it's about making sure that while we are aware of it, we're still holding ourselves to our own standard of Bucks basketball.
We'll have more with Bucks forward Pat Connaughton right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. Dale Klopfer, your courtside with Pat Connaughton. Pat, you're now in your eighth season in the NBA, and it's your fifth season as a Milwaukee Buck. I'm curious, as you look back over your career, what coach or coaches do you think have had the most influence on your personal development?
Oh, that's a great question, Gail. For me, I think what I've learned is taking little tidbits from each of my coaches. I've been fortunate, that we had an assistant coach in Portland, Jimmy Moran, who played overseas professionally for 10-plus years and, learning different things that he learned throughout his time. Coach Stotts, obviously, in Portland, and seeing how he was able to drop ATOs and his offensive mind in coaching out here in Milwaukee and under George Karl and things that he kind of picked up. And, when here in Milwaukee, obviously, Coach Bud and what he did with Atlanta and how he, DeMarre Carroll and Kyle Korver and the guys that he coached in Atlanta and, Charles Lee, he's been, instrumental for me, our associate head coach, in continuing to develop my games in areas outside of just shooting and playing off the dribble and finding ways to attack and finish at the rim. And, Ben Sullivan, who's now in Milwaukee or in Boston, unfortunately, Chad Fortier, I could name everybody, but I think the coolest part for me has been understanding and learning from coaches that have had different experiences and then taking bits and pieces from each of them and trying to apply them to my game.
And with Darvin Ham, who has been Coach Bud's top assistant for years, out now as head coach in Los Angeles, and Charles Lee in the top assistant role, any difference there in terms of approach?
I mean, there's definitely differences, but I think at the end of the day, the effectiveness is still the same. Obviously we miss D-Ham, as we call him, because of the experiences that he brought from, playing in the NBA and winning a championship in the NBA. But he's got, a great opportunity to be a head coach and to do it in one of the most historic franchises that the NBA has. And so we're super excited for him and wish him nothing but the best. And I think, it also allows Charles to step up and have a bigger role within our team, which I think he's more than ready for. And I think it's going to help groom him to be a head coach here at some point in the NBA very soon. And so to see them and to see the ways that each of them interact with players and relate to players is what I think allows them to have so much success in their roles as we speak.
That makes so much sense, Pat. And just curious, Pat, have you set any personal performance goals for yourself for this season?
For me, Gail, my biggest goals, as you know, are to find ways to help the team win, to continue to improve myself individually so that I can help the team collectively. And I think for me, like I said, it's finding ways to make sure I utilize my athleticism a little more. It's finding ways to make sure I shoot the ball a little more consistently, play some better defense, and I continue to push myself to be the best player that I can be on a daily basis, whether that's in the weight room or whether that's on the court with skill development. But at the end of the day, I kind of judge myself based off of the team's ability to win and my ability to have an impact on that. And so I've been fortunate here in Milwaukee to do so over my first 4 years, and I'm hoping the fifth year is the best one yet.
Well, Pat, I think you have a secret weapon that resides in one of the Milwaukee suburbs. It's a group, as you know, of about 90 retired nuns who love the Bucks and pray for Pat Connaughton. you and I had a great opportunity to visit with them a few months ago. Tell our listeners about that little trip.
Oh, it was one of the best trips we've had, Gail. And when I say we, I don't just mean me and you. One of the best trips, you know, I've had since I've been here. And to see the support that people across Milwaukee have in general for the Bucks, but then to be engulfed down at St. Francis with the nuns and to spend an afternoon with them and listen to them and bring them T-shirts and hats from the championship year and talk to them, you know, about the team and answer questions and just spend some time with them. I think at the end of the day, you know, I'm a product of the Catholic school system since I was a kid, since I was in kindergarten. And, you know, I learned from nuns when as school teachers, as principals. And so to go down there and spend some time with them and wasn't for them, you know, who knows? Would we have ever even won the championship, Gail?
I know they were praying in game six really hard, Pat, and we all appreciated it. Oh, gosh. And finally, Pat, your foundation. You have created a foundation. It's been very, very active in the community. Tell us about your latest initiative.
Yeah, you know, so for me, you know, my foundation is something that's really important to me because of the authenticity it has to me. You know, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for sport, right? And I think in today's day and age, that next generation of youth athletes isn't always having their interests put first. You know, youth sports has become such a business in today's world. And so if I can find ways to continue to put their interests back on top and make sure that at the end of the day, the kids are getting the advice from an unbiased party who just wants them to be put in a position to achieve the dreams that they want to achieve. And, you know, we do that through the clinics we do. We do that through the courts. You know, at the end of the day, the courts are a tangible thing that we partner with local community centers or local schools that are in dire need of a court, and they have a lot of programming and kids that would you know, really benefit from having a court. They just may not have the financial means of installing one or upgrading one. And so for us, you really get refreshed from seeing the impact that it has when you either see a non-court or a, you know, court that's in tough shape at one point, and then 5, 6, 10 months later, you see a new court and you see it filled with kids. You see and hear about from the community center or the school how often, you know, kids are in there and how many more programs that they're able to have. And they're really not just learning the sport itself, but they're learning those translatable life skills that come with the sport, the things that, as you and I know, can translate to much different areas and can have an impact on their lives much after their playing careers. The hard work, the teamwork, the leadership, the dedication, the accountability, the things that, if you can instill those habits at a young age, will you know, set these kids up for success for years to come.
Well, Pat, what you're doing is terrific, and so many people across this community appreciate it. And we are wishing you and your family a really happy Thanksgiving and a great homestand. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
All right, our thanks to Gail Klappa and his sit down with Pat Connaughton, the man of the hour this week, making his season debut last night. Scored 7 points. That included a three-pointer, a pair of free throws, and a layup. But it's just good to start to build up that depth once again. Getting Pat Connaughton back, how much that changes things on the perimeter. And before you know it, Chris Middleton is going to be in that mix as well. We mentioned the Bucks with a... dare I say, big one tomorrow. It is big in terms of the rivalry. The Bucks and the Chicago Bulls tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum on the eve of Thanksgiving. Now, the Bulls have been struggling this year, but they did pick up a big win last night against the Boston Celtics, giving the Bucks a little bit of help here in the Eastern Conference standings. But this Bulls team, that this season has not gone as anticipated. They are right now 7-10. They would be on the outside looking in of the play-in tournament, not even the playoffs. The problem for the Bulls, believe it or not, has been their offense. Their net rating with Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Nikola Vucevic on the floor together is a negative 12, which is not good. Offensive rating is 106 with that trio on the floor together. They are supposed to be outscoring you with that group because of their defensive shortcomings, and it just hasn't been the case this season. DeMar DeRozan has, I wouldn't say picked up where he left off last season, but DeMar DeRozan's been very good, averaging 25 a game. Zach LaVine still isn't all the way there. He's dealt with some knee issues the last few years, and even he himself has said the burst and that lift just isn't there quite yet, and they're still waiting on Lonzo Ball. So this is another one. I expect it to be a heated atmosphere and environment. Bulls snapped a four-game skid with that win over the Celtics, but there's something there when the Bucks and the Bulls play. There's that added juice, and especially after facing in the first round of the playoffs a season ago. So we will get our first installment of Bucks and Bulls tomorrow night. That is not the marquee matchup of the week. So this is a rare four-game homestand the week of Thanksgiving. And it's not rare to have the homestand because the Bucks have played quite a bit of home games. When this week ends, the Bucks will have played 13 games at home. 13 of their 19 games in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum. That is nearly one-third of their home games allotted for the season out of the way before we get out of November.
Does any other team have a schedule like Milwaukee in the beginning of the season where they got very front-loaded with home games?
Do you think I pay attention to any? No. Not really.
It seems like a rare scenario. So, it feels weird to get so many at the beginning.
76ers are up there as well, so the 76ers and Bucks are on even footing in terms of home and road splits right now. This is the 11th game that Philadelphia tonight. They're playing the Brooklyn Nets. We got to get to that. This is their 11th home game tonight for Philly. Tomorrow will be the 11th home game for the Bucks. Philly has played six on the road. The Bucks have played six on the road. So Philly is close to it, but as we mentioned, the Bucks are home all week. So you got the Bulls tomorrow. You've got the Cleveland Cavaliers on Friday. You got Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks on Sunday. The 76ers hit the road after tonight. So there is no other team like this with that home-road split that we've seen the Bucks feature. You got to take advantage of it. It's what we've said. The caliber of opponents on the schedule early in the season and the home games, you got to win a lot of these games, regardless of who's on the floor. And the Bucks have done just that, and I think that's allowed you to be extra cautious with Chris Middleton and his pending return this season. So you're winning without him. Absolutely no need. Not that there was a need before this, but absolutely no need to rush him back if you're winning without him. But yes, 13 of your first 19 games at home, nearly a third of your home games are gone before the month of November comes to an end. December, it changes. 15 games, 10 are on the road. January, I believe, 16 games. I know 16. I believe it's 8-8. March is the other month where it's a massive swing towards road games. And that schedule gets increasingly difficult in the second half of the season, which is where you hope this team will start to be healthy and 100% healthy getting ready for the postseason. But Bulls, Cavs, Mavericks, the marquee matchup is Friday night, Black Friday against the Cleveland Cavaliers in Milwaukee. And it's a Cavaliers team. You didn't see Jared Allen last time. He has since returned. We expect to see him Friday. Cavaliers didn't see Pat Connaughton. We expect they will see him on Friday. And who knows? I mean, we've been saying this for weeks, but maybe Chris Middleton. He's still on the injury report. He will not play tomorrow. But just two names on the injury report for tomorrow's game with the Bulls, Chris Middleton and Joe Ingles. Trending upward for the Bucks. We will get to our sub of the week and take a look at an interesting game in the Eastern Conference. It's in action right now in the second half. We will do that and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Weekly. All right, the Bucks continue this four-game homestand tomorrow in Milwaukee. It's the Bucks and the Chicago Bulls for the first time this season. 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 is when our pregame starts with me and Dave Kane. And as always, Bucks talk immediately after the game. Time to get to the sub of the week, the best bench player since we last spoke, and we've run into this quite a bit on Bucks Talk. it's getting more difficult to select a player for individual games and now for the week, as well as the injuries that we think this team is rounding the corner on, but the injuries are piling up, and you've seen guys move from the bench into the starting lineup. That happened all too much last year. It started to happen again the last 2 weeks, but looking through these standout performances, you would say, well, Bobby Portis was good last week. Bobby Portis played one game as a reserve player last week. Drew Holiday came off the bench against the 76ers, though not terribly effective in that game. Pat Connaughton came off the bench yesterday. Grayson Allen has been pretty good, but that's just one game as well. It kind of backs us into a corner, just as we had last night, Tommy. The sub of the game last night is our sub of the week for the last week that we saw. You know who he is. Jordan Wara. What an incredible week off the bench for Jordan Wara. Once again, just under 12 points a game in the three games that he played. Bucks went 2-1 in those games, by the way. Jordan Wara takes home our sub of the week. So it's the Bucks and the Bulls tomorrow. We mentioned the marquee matchup with the Bucks and the Cavs on Friday, and then you round out your weekend with the Bucks versus, we hope, well, maybe we don't hope, but we think Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks on Sunday night. That's the week in front of us for the Bucks, and as I mentioned, we will have Bucks talk immediately after each and every one of those games. Coming up, as soon as we wrap up here, it is Brewers Weekly with our pal Dominic Catronio. And Dom, what do you got coming up on the show after this?
Free agency. I mean, it's here. It's real. It's all anybody wants to talk about these days. Reaction as well to the non-tenders last week. Of course, Brent Suter, fan favorite, no longer a Brewer. So we're going to unpack all of that as well.
I would imagine an in memoriam piece running for Suter.
I can't do a very good Jim Carrey, but I do have some tape of him doing Jim Carrey.
The phone lines are open if you need to call in and share your thoughts and weigh in on the tragedy of Brent Suter not being a part of the team next year. But we were just saying, too, you've been inside the building for the Bucks recently here the last couple of games. What do you think it's going to be like tomorrow night? That you get the Bulls back in town. It's the night before Thanksgiving. We've seen a lot of crossover. This is, I think, probably going to be the most rabid atmosphere we've had yet.
It's
going to
be rocking. I think, you know, if you think, oh, just because the Bulls are having a down start or just because the Bucks are off to an incredible start, doesn't mean the Bulls aren't going to come. The Bulls fans are going to be here. It's going to be back and forth. It's going to be loud. They just had a huge win over the weekend. Shocking. So it's going to be loud. It's just going to be like Cubs and Brewers. I'm ready for it. I'll be working with Lisa and Marcus tomorrow, so I'm really hyped about it.
Yeah. Bucks and the Bulls tomorrow night, the first time that we see the border battle for these two teams. So, again, I'm surprised we haven't heard from our guy, Tommy. This is now 48 hours. Two times in the last two nights, Jordan Wara taking home some hardware. The sub of the game last night and the sub of the week this week.
If anyone knows the whereabouts of Dick in Port Washington, send him to 620.
I was going
to
say, we should do a status. I suppose we shouldn't joke about it, but status check on Dick, that Jordan Wara is just bringing home the accolades here for the last couple games. But it's come to this, right? We think it's changing. So
by default.
Maybe, yeah. But next week, it's probably going to be different. You know, Pat Connaughton's going to be in the mix for that sub of the week. Bobby Portis is back to the bench. He's going to be in the mix for it. Drew Holiday will not, we hope. Who knows? The door is still open for Jordan Wara to potentially do it once more. Bucks and the Bulls tomorrow, so you got a big week in front of you. Bucks and the Bulls tomorrow night. Bucks and the Cavs on Friday night. And the Bucks and the Dallas Mavericks on Sunday. Enjoy the home games while you can, because it is very road-heavy in December, and the Bucks start to owe the road quite a bit. 13 of their first 19 games played this season will be at home. December is where they hit the road. My thanks to Tommy Wirtz for producing the show, Gail Klappa for his conversation with Pat Connaughton, and everybody for tuning in for the last hour. We will talk to you once again next week with this show and talk to you tomorrow night with Bucks Weekly and Bucks Talk on WTMJ.